The scripture reference is Acts chapter 1, verse 3. If everyone will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You may be seated. What did Jesus the Christ speak about to his believers during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension? Wouldn't the topic be one of great importance? What did our Savior discuss with select Israelites for 40 days before he went to be with his Father? The Bible tells us the answer. This verse says that after his resurrection, he spoke about things that were pertaining to the kingdom of God. He didn't talk about Roman oppression of Judea. Almost every church in the world today says very little about the kingdom of God. It is missing from their services. What they have substituted is the preaching of salvation to each lost person in the earth. They are off the tracks. They are teaching that which is missing in the Bible text. The United States, as it is now, is not the kingdom of God. First, it doesn't have a king. Every kingdom must have a king. Or it is not a kingdom. It is something else. America started out as a republic and then switched to a democracy after its destructive war between the states. It is more of a democracy than a republic today. It is more than a democracy as it has been a corporation since 1871. It has gone from a nation that only adult white men who own property could vote, to a country in which all races and mongrels, both men and women, can vote. Even some illegal immigrants and people who are on the grave are rumored to have voted in recent elections. It is now ruled by our ancient enemy who has made us slaves by putting us under economic and political slavery. Our nation is no longer a sovereign nation. It is part of a global society, a new world order. America has presidents and vice presidents, congressmen and congresswomen, and 9 Supreme Court judges, along with many other federal judges, governors, mayors, state congressmen, and state and city judges. The United States has never had a king or queen. It never had a monarchy. We vote for our leaders in a wrestling match drama. Let's look at some of the leading candidates for president that the Democratic Party has for 2020. The first one is Pete Buttigieg. Now, he suspended his candidacy last Sunday, March the 1st. He's the first openly sodomite presidential candidate, and he has proudly flaunted his marriage to Chastain Gleasman, a gay activist. Buttigieg's partner joked during his keynote speech at the 2019 Houston Human Rights Campaign Dinner that he could be the first man in history to pick out the White House china, referring to duties traditionally reserved to the First Lady. Now, wouldn't that fact that he would be the first wife of a president be a perversion and an abomination? If Pete became president, what would happen when he goes to certain countries to negotiate a trade agreement or negotiate a treaty? They'd be introduced as Pete and Justine Buttigieg. I think some countries would not even see him unless he leaves his wife at home. Maybe some countries wouldn't see him at all. But do you know that Mayor Pete is a Marxist communist? It is something that is kept secret in the media. The media never told the public that Obama was Jewish. The media ignored what the Jews universally say, that anyone is a Jew whose mother is Jewish. That is because they began with Cain, whose mother was Eve, but whose father was the devil. It is better to be known who your mother was rather than who your father was in this situation. Eve was their mother, the devil was their father. Which one would you choose to be known as? It keeps hidden who their loyalty would be to. Obama's mother and grandparents were Jewish. Any Jew is racially mixed, that is a mongrel. His mother interracially married with a black and an Indonesian. Barack Hussein Obama, former president of the United States, is Jewish, according to any Jewish authority. Jews can be of any religion. For example, one of Israel's prime ministers was a Buddhist. Pete Buttigieg's parents were both professors at Notre Dame University. His father, Dr. Joseph Buttigieg, was a proponent of the work of Antonio Gramsci, considered the godfather of cultural Marxism. He was for nearly 40 years an English professor at Notre Dame before he died on January 27, 2019. And there's a picture of Joe Buttigieg on the left and Joe and Pete on the right. Mayor Pete's father, who immigrated to the United States from the island of Malta, that's a highly Freemasonic island. He immigrated in the 1970s. He was a founding member and president of the International Gramsci Society. Professor Buttigieg edited and translated Antonio Gramsci's prison notebooks, a manifesto on communist revolution. He initially studied to be a Jesuit priest. Remember, the Jesuits' one purpose was to protect the Catholic Church from the Protestant Reformation. He was also appointed by the Italian Minister of Culture to a commission of experts supervising Gramsci's complete works. His articles on Gramsci has been translated into multiple languages. And there is a picture of Antonio Gramsci, who's the godfather of culture Marxism. He was an associate of Vladimir Lenin. Radical leftists in the United States, Europe, and Latin America have adopted Gramsci's methods and made it a point of integrating, first, the churches. They integrate the churches. Second, the universities. They integrate the universities.
Infiltrate.
What did I say? Infiltrate. Public education. Mainstream media outlets. They infiltrate charities. They infiltrate Hollywood and political advocacy groups. This is no accident, for part of a deliberate strategy to pave the way for communist revolution developed more than eight decades ago was devised by Antonio Gramsci. Communists have infiltrated the churches. Have you recognized any? Maybe you are not able to say that this preacher or that one is a communist, but you can recognize that the church incorporates many communist doctrines. For example, homosexuality, transvestitism, miscegenation, women leaders, universalism, women's pro-choice or aborticide, toleration of all religions, all races originated in Adam, brotherhood of all races, fatherhood of God, etc. Gramsci is one of the world's most important and influential Marxist theorists since Marx himself. The Italian communist, who lived from 1891 to 1937, is credited with the blueprint that has served as the foundation for the cultural Marxist movement in modern America. Gramsci believed that the conditions in Russia in 1917 that made revolution possible would not materialize in more advanced capitalist countries in the West. The strategy must be different and must include a mass democratic movement and ideological struggle. Gramsci argued that a frontal attack on established institutions like governments in Western societies may face significant resistance and thus need greater preparation, with the main groundwork being the development of a collective will among the people and a takeover of leadership among civil society and key political positions. University curricula teaches that all cultures must be equally respected, even the ones that directly contradict Christian values. Thus, we have equality and multiculturalism. In the name of human rights, secular humanist organizations have promoted policies that have eliminated Christian moral restraints. The younger Buttigieg was deeply shaped and molded by his father's Marxist thought. He is the perfect embodiment of Gramsci's philosophy. Pete dropped out of the race right before Super Tuesday and endorsed Joe Biden. What did the Democratic National Party give him to do this? The president's hopeful popularity among Americans is further evidence that the nation is indeed entering strong opposition to what was proclaimed by the ministries of both the Old and New Testaments, the kingdom of God. The second one is Elizabeth Warren. Well, she suspended her candidacy on Thursday, March the 5th. With the presidential election little more than 9 months away, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren has become the designated attack dog for the Democratic Party. The Jewish media has given Warren a free pass on her own past and positions because, despite the vice president buzz surrounding her, Warren is still not technically in the race. Once you strip away her clever sound bites and nasty, nasty personal insults, you must face an uncomfortable truth about this darling of the left. Warren has attacked Bernie Sanders, Mike Bloomberg, and Pete Buttigieg the most. She has had both successes and failures. Her best success has been with Michael Bloomberg. Let's look at something the media ignores. Her daughter, Amelia Warren, she is co-founder and chief operating officer of the Business Talent Group. Before this, she was an engagement manager with McKinsey & Company. That's the same company that hired Pete Buttigieg. Pete worked for that company for 3 years, and what he did is kept secret. Amelia lives in a California mansion with her husband, Iranian film producer, I have trouble with this name, Shushil Tyagi, something like that. Shushil has been exposed as having partnered with an Iranian film producer that produced Death to America, Iranian propaganda film. Elizabeth Warren is making $400,000 salary from Harvard University while she runs for office. Elizabeth advocates for communism while maintaining the facade of supporting American ideals and basic institutions. Warren disguises herself as a Democrat, but her proposals make her a communist. She doesn't believe in private property. She is anti-capitalist and is very, 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 very pro-choice. She proposes to nationalize every business in the United States of America. The third one, Michael Bloomberg, well, he suspended his candidacy on Wednesday after Super Tuesday on March the 4th. There are many political elites who would like to be a dictator in the United States. Most of them would never dare admit to such tendencies. They are still trying to convince us all that they are really our benefactors. Their true concern is for their own safety while they try to force agendas down our throats. They realize most of us are not happy with. Bloomberg is an Ashkenazi Jew. He is worth 62, followed by 9 zeros. $62 billion. He has given money to many Democrats and to the National Democratic Party. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, a man who thinks he knows what's best for every man, woman, and child in America, and wants to bend them all to his whims, is the most dangerous of all. Bloomberg is willing to spend billions of dollars of his own money to buy his way into the White House. In fact, Bloomberg has said he'll spend up to $1 billion of his own money to see a Democrat elected president this fall, even if he's not the one to win the nomination. Billionaire Michael Bloomberg pledged $1 million through his gun control group, Every Town for Gun Safety, to impact Virginia's upcoming elections for governor and attorney general. The $1 million consisted of $750 for Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ralph Northam and $250,000 for incumbent attorney general Mark Herring, both of whom support more restrictive gun control laws for law-abiding Virginians. Moreover, Every Town has made it clear that the $1 million is only the first of an undisclosed number of investments that will be made in Virginia races. And you know what happened in Virginia. In other words, Bloomberg bought himself a governor and a legislature that would, for filthy lucre, enact his gun control wishes in a southern state. How many other states, southern and otherwise, does he plan to execute this program in? Isn't state legislators supposed to enact the wishes of those who elected it, rather than the wishes of Michael Bloomberg? Ashkenazi Jew Michael Bloomberg raised eyebrows during Tuesday's, that was February 25th, Democratic debate in Charleston, South Carolina, when he said that he bought seats in the House of Representatives in the 2018 midterm elections. He quickly changed what he said from bought to got. He said, a direct quote, "They talk about 40 Democrats. 21 of those are people that I spent $100 million to help elect. All of the new Democrats that came in put, House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi in charge and gave Congress the ability to control this president." That was by impeachment. I got them. Bloomberg accidentally said that he bought the 21 seats that he gave the House Speaker, the majority in the House of Representatives. This made Nancy the Speaker and the majority to impeach the President. I thought this is what the Democrats say that they don't want, billionaire donors. And here's something you may or may not know. Michael Bloomberg is also tied in with Jeffrey Epstein and the CEO of Victoria's Secret, Les Wexner. They travel together to many places, getting together with underage girls and boys. Bernie Sanders. Can you believe that Chicago was where the Communist Party was founded on September 1st, 1919, shortly after World War I was over. One of the founding groups was the Jewish Federation. Their main point is the abolition of private property. Now, this is directly against God's law. The Bible teaches us that we were given the land in Palestine debt-free, and it was in each Israelite family for life. It could only be sold or leased for at most 50 years. If it was sold or leased, it would return to the original family at the Jubilee, which is every 50 years. No property tax, no mortgage payments, no insurance payments. It was theirs, given to them free of charge. During its founding, the communists led the fight for racial equality. Its advocates were the behind-the-scenes leaders that got the United States into World War I. A communist does not want everyone to know that he is a communist until they take over. Did you notice how Bernie Sanders, the front runner of the Democratic Party candidates for president, reacted when Bloomberg called him a communist at the Democratic debate? He quickly and madly replied that he is a democratic socialist, not a communist. But the Communist Party has argued that the broad left exists in the United States that is anti-corporate, pro-union, anti-sexist, pro-environment, pro-healthcare, anti-racist, and pro-LGBTQ rights. Bernie Sanders fits right in. Let's look at Bernie for a moment. He is what everyone looks at as the model for being a communist. First of all, he's an Ashkenazi Jew. But until Bernie was elected mayor when he was 39 years old of Burlington, Vermont, he never held a full-time job. He considered them as being moronic. I guess the people that have a full-time job are morons. He drew unemployment for most of his life until he won the job of mayor. He won by 10 votes. But now he has three homes. This was pointed out by the multi-billionaire Mike Bloomberg in the debate. And Bernie is a multi-millionaire. How did this happen? The millionaire communist, Bernie Sanders, has become one of those rich people against whom he has so reluctantly railed. Is he railing against himself? The champion of the underclass and castigator of the 1% has found himself in the socioeconomic penthouse of his rhetorical boogeyman. This development seemed mostly as a result of big bucks brought in by the number of books he's put out the past few years, many bought by his own campaign groups. Bernie put his girlfriend, now his third or fourth wife, on the payroll in Burlington, the city in Vermont in which he was mayor. Later, when he ran for the Congress in the United States Senate, he made her his media buyer. Being a media buyer is the dirty little secret of campaign financing. They get a commission between 10% to 15%. And the amount they receive is not put on the financial sheet. After Bernie was elected a senator, he was asked to endorse certain candidates running for election. He refused until they made his wife their media buyer. Then he endorsed them. In the 2016 campaign for president, Bernie spent $83 million on media. So his wife, that's his third wife, made a bundle. Bernie has made his communism into a profession for making a lot of money for his family. Then there was a Democratic debate that was right before the South Carolina vote. One of the moderators asked Sanders that if he was elected, he would be the first Jewish president. I added, well, he won't be the first, as we have had several. What would that mean to the country? Bernie downplayed his answer. But in a video, Sanders reminds his audience that his father's family was wiped out by the Nazis. Here's the quote from that video. If there is, it should have been if there are, a people who understands the danger of racism and white nationalism, it is certainly the Jewish people. I guess they don't believe the Bible. I am very proud of being Jewish. This is a quote from Bernie Sanders. I am very proud of being Jewish. And that is an essential part of who I am as a human being. Anti-Semitism, what's been called the longest hatred. Oh, there's hatred between the two. Still festers in America. Thank goodness it does. Hate crimes are up in most major cities, with Jews suffering the highest percentage of any group. I know about what crazy and radical and extremist politics mean. I learned that lesson as a tiny, tiny child. When my mother would take me shopping, and we would see people working in stores who had numbers on their arms because they were in Hitler's concentration camp, unquote. What? Bernie said that his father's family was wiped out by the Nazis. But Bernie Sanders' father, Eli Sanders, emigrated to the United States from Poland in the year 1921. Almost two decades before World War II. His mother was born in New York City, and her parents were Jews from Poland and Russia. How could his parents be described as Holocaust survivors? There were no Hitler concentration camps in 1921, especially in New York. Wait a minute. Bernie Sanders said that his mother would take him shopping when he was little, and they would see workers who were in Hitler's concentration camp. Both his mother and he were born in America. What city were they living in? America had Hitler's Nazi concentration camps. And I might add, before the Nazis were even in power. They didn't live in Austria-Hungary, now Poland, as his father had. His father immigrated to America in 1921. More than a decade before Hitler was elected as chancellor, and more than two decades before there were any Nazi concentration camps. Bernie told a big, big lie. He lies constantly. Where is the media? And you can see that video on yourself if you Google it. Another quote from Bernie Sanders. I am very proud of being Jewish, and that is an essential part of who I am as a human being. If there are any people on earth who understand the danger of racism and white nationalism, it is certainly the Jewish people. I am very proud to be Jewish and look forward to being the first Jewish president in the history of this country. This is a picture of Democratic presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders speaks during a campaign event at Whittemore Center Arena, New Hampshire, February 10, 2020. See his right-handed fist? Bernie is shown at the end of the video with his right hand raised with the fist. Does anyone Remember the United States black sprinters standing on the Olympic medal stage with their right hand clenched as a fist raised exactly like Sanders in this picture? It's one of the signs of communism. But that is not all. When Bernie bought his third home after the 2016 election, he set up a tax gimmick that will save him a lot of taxes on the back end. And there is his investment portfolio. He has invested in many of the Fortune 500 companies. I thought he was a Green Deal environment leader. What a hypocrite. Well, now I'm going to talk to you about the English royalty. King Charles II didn't have any legitimate children. So when he died in 1685, his younger brother, James II, was crowned King of England. One gone, one to go. William and Mary could be crowned king and queen if James II could be dethroned. James II tried to force people to follow his newly converted Roman Catholic faith. He was very unpopular because of his persecution of the Protestants. And he was hated by the people that he was ruling. So when he had a son that was born, the nation was in a turmoil as they feared that a Catholic reign of more persecution would occur. Wasn't there turmoil when James Kennedy was elected? He was running for president. John Kennedy. Dislike of him grew in the birth of a son who would have precedence over his Protestant half-sisters helped to bring the opposition to a head. A group of Protestant nobles asked James's daughter, Protestant Mary, and her husband William, Prince of Orange, to come to England with an army. When the Prince of Orange arrived on November 5, 1688, all the king's Protestant officers defected. The unpopular autocratic Catholic king had few followers and was unable to defend himself. Can you believe that? A guy from the Netherlands marries the king's relation. They get an army from the Netherlands and come over to England. And the Protestant generals leave, and the king has to leave. And the guy from the Netherlands and his daughter marry, and they become king and queen of England. The king fled, was captured, was then allowed to escape to France, and William and Mary took the throne. This is the so-called Glorious Revolution, was effectively over. James tried to restore himself by landing a force in Ireland in 1689, but the effort failed at the Battle of the Boyne. Other plots for restoration also failed. He would end his life in exile. He died of a stroke in 1701 at St. Germain in Lay, France. He was the last Catholic and the last Stuart king of England. But let's look closer at what really happened. For who writes the history? The victors. Did you notice that it said a group of Protestant nobles? Protestant nobles invited William and Mary to invade England. That's only partly true. That is what most books and emails will tell you, but it's not the whole truth. They left out some important information. They left out that in 1688, it was the Jews who ordered Protestant William, Prince of Orange, to make his invasion in England. Who do you think he got his money from to pay for his soldiers? With King James II a refugee, William and Mary were crowned co-regents in England. The Netherlands became a major factor once again. William Stadtholder, a Dutch army careerist, was a handsome man. But he had many money problems. That was a golden opportunity for the Jewish moneylenders in Amsterdam. They arranged for William to be elevated to Captain General of the Dutch forces, and then to have the aristocratic title given to William. He became known as the Prince of Orange. For William to become King of England, both Charles II and his brother James II had to die. The Jews knew that both men would never grant a charter for an English national bank. That is why murder, civil war, and religious conflicts plagued the reigns of these two former kings. They knew that they had to eliminate these two kings and place another king in their place who was indebted to them. Then they could get their usury bank. It was Francisco Lopez Suso, a Sephardic Jewish banker, who inherited wealth from his banker Jewish father, who was the person that William turned to when he was preparing to invade England. William intended to overthrow the king, his father-in-law, the Catholic James II. Francisco provided the future William III of Britain a loan of 2 million guilders. Other Dutch Jews similarly assisted William and hoped for his success, even holding a special service at the Portuguese synagogue the day after he sailed. They not only expected his conquest to lead to an improvement of conditions for their Jewish brethren in England, but also expected it to be beneficial to their own ties with the Sephardic communities of the British colonies in the Caribbean, including Barbados and Jamaica. Then in 1694, King William and Queen Mary granted a charter for the Jewish English National Bank. The bank was founded 6 years following the Glorious Revolution of 1688. This is what the Jewish bankers wanted. They soon gained control of Britain and have held it ever since. In addition, the college was named after the King and Queen in the future United States, William and Mary College, because it was founded by them in 1693 when they signed a charter. It is in Williamsburg, Virginia. Now my conclusion. The Jews had a plan for both societies, both England and the United States. They manipulated both nations to do what they thought was best, what they thought was best for the Jews. Sanders and Bloomberg are Ashkenazi Jews. An Episcopalian Steyer, who has a Jewish father and Episcopalian mother. The remainder are Roman Catholic Biden, baptized as a Roman Catholic but is now an Episcopalian Buttigieg, Methodist Warren, United Church of Christ Klobuchar, and the Hindu Gabbard are all pro-Zionists. All the possible candidates, either the Democratic or Republican, are all pro-Jewish. So next November, we will have another pro-Jewish president. What is wrong with a Jew being president of the United States? We've already had a Jewish president. We have had several. They're all part of the unholy seed. Quote, just as Satan wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him, and as Lucifer wanted to be like God and be worshiped, so Satan still wants to be worshiped today. Jesus refers to people calling themselves Jews or Judeans, who are not, as being of the synagogue of Satan. unquote. That's from the book, God Made a Racial Choice, by Pastor Everett Ramsey. It's page 150. I recommend everyone read that book. This is who Bloomberg, Sanders, and Steyer worship. They are Ashkenazi Jews who are members of the synagogue of Satan. The moderators will never ask any candidate what they think about Jesus the Christ. If the moderators did, and these candidates answered honestly, they would say that they hate our Savior. They believe in their holy book, the Kabbalah, that Jesus was the mongrel child of the prostitute mother and a Roman soldier. It says that he is now in hell. They believe that our Savior is now in hell. Are the Jews the covenant people of God? No, they are not. The Jews are never called God's chosen people in the Bible. The Democrats are saying that even though they are the party of inclusiveness, they now have two old white men running for president. But they don't, for Ashkenazi Jews are not white men. King Edward I expelled the Jews from England after they had been stripped of their property that the Jews had gained by usury banking. The bankers had no love for the king, but they did desire his immense wealth. They were expelled for almost 400 years. King Charles I, the English king, forbade the Jewish usury bankers' return. He didn't need another competitor for his land. But the bankers hired Oliver Cromwell to take the king's throne and hired armies for him. He became the Lord Protector, which eventually failed, but he allowed the Jews to return to England. Then after 11 years, Charles II was restored to the throne. Then after he died, James II, his brother, became king. When he toppled, his overseer nobles and loyal serf yeomen were banished to America, where they could do little harm in the wilderness, and the new banker's king, King William of Orange, took over and ruled for his masters. They got in return for the loans their Jewish National Usury Bank. Now the bankers had both the king's land and the land of the banished refugees. William, the husband of Mary, appeared to be English, spoke English, and acted English, even though he was Dutch, so he was accepted. But he, too, was just a hired overseer. The bankers now owned and controlled Britain. William of Orange was their royal spokesman. I'll give you a quick summary. Charles I was beheaded after many civil wars in Britain. The monarchy ended. England became a republic for 11 years. The parliament reigned for about 5 years. Then Oliver Cromwell came in and kicked him out, and he became the Lord Protector. The Jews began their return to England after over 360 years. When Cromwell died, he made his son, Richard Cromwell, the Lord Protector for 1 year. He got run off because he couldn't handle it. Then a couple political parties ruled. There's complete chaos for 1 year. And the Republic ended when they asked the monarchy, Charles II, to come out of exile and take over the throne again. When he died, Charles II, his newly formed Catholic brother, took the throne. Then Queen Mary, the daughter of James II, and King William of the Netherlands became king and queen, and the Jews installed their National Bank of England. Then Queen Anne, another daughter of James II, died childless, and the next king or queen came from the House of Hanover. The New World Order was on its way. But it will soon come head-to-head with the kingdom of God. Jews and Roman Catholics caused complete chaos, and changed the history of Britain until now. Jews and Roman Catholics are doing the same thing in the United States. Who was on the Supreme Court? Who is running for president? Who are many members of Congress? Who are many of the governors? Who are the three presidential candidates for the Democrats now? Number one, Ashkenazi Jew, Bernie Sanders. Number two, a Roman Catholic, Joe Biden. Number three, a Hindu, Tulsi Gabbard. Not bad for a Protestant nation. But what about the kingdom of God? This is what Jesus and the apostles preached, quote, the kingdom of God. The former king of Israel was born of an Israelite woman, was murdered, was resurrected with a flesh and bone body, no blood, and will regain his kingship over the house of Israel once again. This is the only eternal kingdom. The Israelite kingdom, which Jesus the Christ as its king will rule and reign once again, it will never, ever, ever end. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.